Hello and welcome to We Were Hit by a Horse Trekking at East Hand of Equestria. I am online and outside's beloved Graceful Spark. With me as always is my darling co-host Spilled Beans. How you doing on this cold spring day, Beans?
I'm doing pretty well. We got some nice coffee and stuff. Like, it's far more relaxing than last time we got to sit down and record. So, you know what?
Yeah.
Life's pretty good.
Yeah, we got to come in from the cold and the not cold, warm up inside, mm-hmm. You know, warm up inside a nice warm horse, you know, all the classics.
Yeah, you know, yeah, all the really good stuff, yeah. I'm just gonna sip my coffee now.
Well, good. I like it when you're warm, dear. I love a warm, hydrated horse.
I mean, I think coffee technically dehydrates you.
Well, in that case,
fluid's weird.
Well, yeah, in that case, we'll have to give you something else to drink. Just don't
After
burn your tongue.
After the recording.
Yeah, just don't burn your tongue, dear. Because today, dears, we are talking about Season 1, Episode 11, Winter Wrap-Up. Original air date, December 24th, 2010. And we open with a sleepy Spike and a Twilight waking up. Because she's excited about winter wrap-up day, baby.
Aw, she is just so very hype.
Yeah. She's jazzed. She's excited.
She's, like, awake 2 hours early.
Yep. She gets up. She tries to wake up Spike, like, hey, come on, Spike, it's winter wrap-up time. He's like, mommy? You're not mommy. Which is curious, because, like...
Spike, you never met mommy.
Yeah, like, Spike never met whoever laid his egg.
Yeah, like...
Like...
Listeners and I am not familiar with where Spike came from, but you are.
All I know is that Spike was given as an egg to Twilight as a gift by Celestia.
Yeah, like... I don't think... That hasn't actually been said, like, in episode yet.
Correct.
I don't think.
But... I guess Spike is correct. Like, Twilight did not lay his egg. She's not a dragon.
But why would his assumption be that he'd be being woken up by his mother, then?
He's sleepy. People say weird things when they're sleepy.
That's... Okay,
look,
all right.
Spike was dreaming about a thick dragon milf.
Ah, that is fair. That is a good thing to dream about, actually.
He was dreaming of those dragon mommy milkers.
Ah. Dream I have had before, and I will say 5 out of 5 stars would dream again.
Yeah, exactly. Or Drillkers. No, wait. Gee, Drillikers, Batman.
No! I refuse.
Spend less on milk. No. Anyways, Twilight, this is the first hint we get that, like, you're not allowed to use magic to do winter wrap-up because Ponyville was founded by Earth ponies, and so they don't use magic to wrap up winter, which implies that, like, the fact that the seasons don't change by themselves in really anywhere in pony civilization, because Spike mentions that they just use magic to do it in Canterlot as well,
mm-hmm.
It's just a natural process, like, that, well...
I mean,
that
yeah,
is like,
they even
like seasons are like seasons have always been artificial in Equestria.
Yeah, like that was the joke. Like what? Even just last episode, that it was like,
sure.
The Everfree Forest is unnatural because it has like normal seasons.
Sure, but then where's the dividing line? Where did that come from? Why do seasons happen on their own in the Everfree Forest? But not in Ponyville. Like, it seems like there's a hard line between no seasons and seasons.
Because fucking, Celestia's a weird super princess who can just decree that weather doesn't happen normally in her world.
Like, you have to, like, go to the horse zoning board and, like, okay, so this plot of land, that's incorporated now. They have to handle their own weather now.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just a hard line on Equestria's border where it's just a pile of snow where everyone else is having winter.
Fucked up. Anyways.
Yeah. I think we've had this conversation before, and yeah, it's real fucked up.
Yeah, like, because I figured the manual season-changing thing was, like, I don't know, it was something you opted into, right? But it implies that there are just, like, patches of Equestria that don't have seasons?
Yeah,
or like, if there weren't ponies living there, it would just be the same stuff all the time.
Wow, an entire season of, like, just central or southern United States, just the exact same weather all year round.
I mean, yes, like, I'm sure there's horse Seattle.
Yeah.
Welcome to Horse Seattle, Twilight. We've all got seasonal affective disorder.
Okay,
would you like to look at our big greenhouse balls or our big pointy thing?
Like,
we can throw a fish if you like.
One, you know, Ponyville's Seattle would be a saddle like joke.
Oh yeah, it would have saddle.
It would have to be sea saddle or something like that.
Yeah,
but like. I know in our not-too-distant future is going to be the Buffalo episode, right?
Yeah.
And, like, yeah. Okay, do they have to deal with it controlling their own seasons? Because they're, like, in Equestria, even if they're not allowed to be considered real people, because ponies are weird.
Yeah, like, they're kind of on the outskirts of Equestria. Like, they're being colonized, right?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And, yeah, or, what happens in, like, Griffinland, right? Do they, do their seasons just happen? Like, they don't have magic, but also you don't need magic to, like, make the seasons change, right? This used to just be, like, all Earth ponies.
Yeah, like, the only part of this whole process that doesn't make sense to me is the, like, clouds thing, and we'll get to that. Later.
Yeah.
Like, I guess they could just, like, because there's the Pegasus, like, city town that's not too far away. The one that spawns, you know, the Rainbow Factory, like, creepypasta story thing. Like, they probably just, like, hire some Pegasi from there to do their, like, weather control.
Mm-hmm. Hire a samurai voice. Hire some Pegasi.
Yeah.
Is this anything?
I mean, it seems close enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like, I don't know. It seemed like they would still have normal wind or whatever. Like, I don't know. It's weird. I don't think they really thought this through all that well, to be honest.
I do appreciate this episode does have, like, the Chekhov's checklist. There at the start of, like, Twilight getting all her stuff together, including being so prepared, she made a spot on the checklist for trying to wake up Spike and he will be grumpy and go back to bed.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucked up, Spike. Like, Twilight, that's rude. I mean, it's right, but...
Yeah, he's asleep. He's not gonna hear it. So Twilight's all excited. We learn that you can't use magic to change the seasons in Ponyville. That's horse illegal.
Yeah.
Or as we call it here in Equestria, illegal.
Yeah.
And
Twilight seemed really excited to be a weather cop. It was kind of weird.
And then she puts on her nice warm saddle and her scarf.
Yes.
It seems weird that, I guess it makes sense for Twilight to own a saddle because, like, sometimes Spike rides her around, but, like, Spike doesn't seem to have any issue with riding her bareback, and she doesn't really plan on taking Spike with her anyways. So, like,
yeah.
Why do you have saddles in a world without humans, Twilight?
I mean, like...
Like, it's not... We've seen this before. Like,
yeah.
We've seen... Rarity does this as well.
Rarity loves to put saddles in her outfits.
Yeah, which, like... there's the obvious explanation that this is a kink thing, but, like...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is my sex haven coat. My winter sex coat.
I would like to put forward that we have never seen... Like, I'm going through my memory of, like, every episode I've seen, and like, all the, like, fan art and stuff, I have never seen, like, a little fucking child pony wearing a saddle. Mm-hmm. It's a kink thing.
Do you make, like, normal warm outfits? No.
No, I do not. The children are warm enough in their very soft fur.
The kids are all right, and by all right, I mean they're plenty warm, because we don't have any non-kinky winter wear.
Look, their, like, little legs are so small, and they don't have necks. Like, they are very good at regulating their internal body temperature. Every time we see them in winter wrap-up, they're just bouncing all over the place. Like, these kids are not freezing.
Well, and the weird thing is that, like, despite all this, when we actually see the ponies in winter wrap-up, none of them are dressed for the weather. Like, they're all wearing vests, because that's how they organize themselves. But, like, even Twilight is wearing her scarf and saddle.
Yeah, it's once again the thing of just, like, outfits only exist for as long as they are needed to make a vibe, and then as soon as the vibe is set, they just get rid of the outfits, because that's easier to animate. I mean, exist. Fuck.
Yeah. We aren't being animated. Well, at least, well, we aren't. You and I aren't, but they are.
Yeah.
As far as everyone else knows, we just exist in voice mode, baby. We could be doing whatever we wanted right now, and it costs the same.
Yeah, that's fair. Look, Lauren Faust, we need to talk. Get us in an episode of My Little Pony, please, thank you. I know the show isn't running anymore.
You can put us in G5. We'll still complain about it, but, like, you know.
Yeah.
We know you're out there.
Yeah.
Lauren Faust, email us at horse@isekai.horse. We might read your letter on the air. Or on the mare. And by that I mean I will climb on top of beans and read it if you ask nicely.
Oh, whoa. Look, it worked for the McElroys. I'm just going to say it. Great Grace and Beans will be in the Gen 5 second movie. There we go. Let's get that hashtag trending.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, baby.
Grace and Beans will be in Gen 5.
Yes, Spark we and will beans. Do this.
Yeah.
But,
so, I took this as, like, it can't be that cold outside while they're doing winter wrap-up then.
I mean, yeah, it's the day right before spring starts. Like, it's...
Yeah.
Does that mean that they control, like, weather in a very physical sense, but, like, they don't control the larger air currents that, like, are what change, like, temperature? I guess they can't control how far away the sun is. That's sort of Celestia's thing.
Yeah,
but, like,
and I'm sure
only
she, like...
in Equestria.
Yes? I know we've talked about this before. I'm not going to relitigate, like, what the sun situation is, like, do the Griffins have a different sun, or are they kind of at Celestia's mercy? But, like, because, remember, there is an argument in this episode about the Pegasi can't warm it up too quickly, otherwise the snow will all melt at once and flood the animal dens.
There is a whole amount of, like, meteorological physics going on here that the show did not think people were going to ask questions about.
Well, because it's about the Pegasi controlling the level of cloud cover, you know?
Yeah.
But that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. We're getting way ahead of ourselves, but I will say, they could just pile all the clouds, like, on top of where all the animals are being woken up, so, like, other stuff can thaw.
Like, well... Yeah, that might work. Or, like, punch a hole, like, where the fields are that they're trying to clear up.
Yeah, like... We really need to talk about the song before we start talking about stuff after the song.
Yep. So, Twilight gets all dressed up. She's like, gosh dang it. Beans. Too early. It's still night out. And then the theme song happens, and then we come to Twilight kind of walking into... the town square, whatever, the place where Mayor Mare talks and gives speeches to ponies. We see bubble wrap flying there above the crowd. And,
yeah, there's quite a few, like, ponies we've seen before. I actually really like that, like, I think every single side pony that's, like, actually had, like, a cutie mark attached to them shows up in this episode.
Aw, good horses.
Yeah.
And just like we see Carrot Top and so on. We see Spike being all sleepy. Spike will be sleepy this entire episode.
Yeah, I have a theory on that, but we can talk about that later.
My theory? It's cute when the dragon is sleepy.
Correct. not quite 100% my theory, but yes, that also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we get Mayor Mare, who's given a speech about, all right, everyone, we're going to do winter wrap-up really good this year. And then she, like, explains, like, she and Twilight wind up explaining that there are three vests, three winter wrap-up genders.
Mm-hmm.
Blue vest for weather, tan vest for animal, and green vest for plant.
Yeah, like, they all have a little bit of overlapping jobs as we go through, yeah. But yeah, for the most part, yeah.
Yeah, wrapping up winter is a holistic process, and naturally, people's jobs are going to have some overlap.
Yeah, and Twilight has no idea which of these three gangs she wants to join.
Yeah. Yeah, she makes much ado about, like, oh, how do I know which one I'm going to join? But as we pan over this crowd, we see Lyra in the back jumping up and down. She has this very good and very well-memed face.
Mm.
This, like, she's, like, clearly bouncing up. I think it's the same one we saw, like, earlier with Nightmare Moon at the place where Nightmare Moon showed up.
Yeah.
Like, she's kind of bouncing up and down behind the crowd with, like, this big old smile.
Mm-hmm. Also, like, Bon Bon was way up in the front row.
Yeah. Lyra was looking for her wife girlfriend.
Yeah, valid.
Her girl wife.
you know, girl wife, unlike normal wife. Understood.
You've tried male wife, now try girl wife.
now I understand. It's a female order bride.
I love you, she wife.
oh man.
Wifus. Alright, and then Twilight's like, oh, how will I know which team to join? What does every pony do? And then the song starts.
Before we get into the song, I will say, my brain has been trying to make a joke about Twilight just trying to decide if she wants to join the Sharks, the Jets, or the Browncoats. It's not good. The joke's bad. Let's go into the song.
Welcome to Horse Side Story.
Right? We just have Nazis in here, too. Don't worry about it.
Everyone keeps asking me, Yo, Twiwody, where'd you get that fresh pepperoni? It's nothing. Anyways, song time.
look, horses can't snap hooves. Like, there's no way that movie could be remade with horses.
I guess they could, like, you know, clomp their hooves against the ground.
Oh, fuck. My brain is doing the animation work. I can't do this.
the real question is, like, because West Side Story is, it's about race.
Yes.
Who do you make the, what's the horse equivalent of a bunch of Puerto Rican immigrants?
How can you say a sentence like that and then expect me to answer and not feel like anything I say is going to be, like, instantly taken in the worst possible way?
Yeah, no, like, there's no answer to this, right? No. Like, I mean, the real answer, sidestepping that question, is, like, it's just Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
So you make Horse Romeo and Horse Juliet, which is a story that apparently already exists in this universe.
Yes. As, again, just Casanova, which is a little disconcerting.
Yeah. And now it's song time, baby!
Yes!
When you're a jet, you're a jet all the way.
No, it's winter wrap-up. No.
Beans, I messed up my notes already. Yeah, so, if you're one of our listeners who doesn't watch the show, look up winter wrap-up on YouTube. The song slaps.
It's, if you thought a children's show for young girls made in, like, what was this, like, early 2010s? If you thought that would be bad for music, you're wrong.
Yeah.
I need you to go listen to Winter Wrap-Up, please.
Yeah, like, part of this might be the nostalgia speaking, but, like, when the song came on, I just started singing along. Like, I couldn't not.
Yeah, we were both doing the work with everyone else out there, so we had to be, you know? Like,
yeah.
Join
the chorus.
Exactly, right? Like, you gotta, like, if you're doing some hard work, getting a song going to do the rhythm right. Winter Wrap-Up's a little too high tempo for a working song, but you know what? It's fine.
Yeah, it's one of those montage songs. I don't think it's entirely diegetic, It doesn't really matter. Because really, the point is to explain to Twilight and the audience what Winter Wrap Up is and why we're doing it.
And why all of her friends in particular, who all have like little like solo bits.
Yeah.
Why all of them love Winter Wrap Up individually.
Yeah, or at least like why it's necessary.
Yeah.
Because like that's the first thing they do is that like, you know, it's 3 months of winter coolness and awesome holidays. I'm not going to do the whole song. Otherwise, I will do the whole song. You know, basically, yeah, like, yeah, winter is great, but like we're running out of food and we need to grow more.
Yeah.
And I do kind of get the sense that like, you know, there was a date for this. Like Mayor Mara specifically worried that like every year we are late wrapping up winter and let's not do that this year. And then
it's a scandal every year.
Yeah. Yeah. She says like every year it's a scandal and nightmare or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like the other towns are talking shit about us or whatever.
Yeah. It's not great that Ponyville keeps being late to get spring here.
Yeah, like, if nothing else, it's embarrassing. Like, it applies, like, you can't get stuff done.
Yeah. Also, the song does have some down-tempo moments that mm-hmm. come in, and it's always Twilight just being like, aw, nah, how can I do anything when I don't have my one personality trait, magic?
Yeah.
Oh, no!
Yep.
How can I do anything if I'm not allowed to do magic, ever? As if that's, you know, the only thing Twilight ever do.
Yep. In the song, yeah, well, the background pony watching this song is, we get Doctor Who's in there.
Yes.
He's actually in this episode quite a bit. Not like as anything, just as a background pony.
Yeah, no, I noticed him quite a lot around. He's apparently very big on making sure he's out helping during Winter Wrap Up, which, you know what?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. You know, it's this big, like, civic episode. I imagine it's the sort of thing where, like, hey, you do it because, like, it has to be done, all hooves on deck sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it also, you know, everyone's going to be weird about it if you don't do it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, did you hear that Pimbledy Wimbledy didn't do Winter Wrap Up? Pimbledy Wimbledy isn't a pony name. I don't know why I went for that, but here we are.
Yeah. See, the problem is I'm trying to think of any pony name, and it's either like other fan ponies that I know of, like a few of the fans that have been like talking to us that like we've gotten to meet their ponies, which is nice. Like, and I don't want to, like, I don't know, call out any of them. I don't want to accidentally say a pony name that's, you know, a pony we give a shit about.
Yeah. Oh, how about this? Pingus Wingus.
No. No. I refuse. Glitter Spirit didn't fucking show up.
There we go.
Fucking Glitter Spirit and Lady Moonshine were off doing their own shit.
Yeah, I can't believe Glitter Spirit and Lady Moonshine were off making booze in the woods again instead of helping with Winter Wrap Up.
Right? Look, I understand ice wine. I don't understand ice moonshine. That sounded like a better joke in my head.
That's okay, dear.
Ah.
Would it help if I kissed your head so I came up with better jokes?
Oh, that wouldn't work. I will take the smooch, though, please. Thank you.
Good. Mwah.
Oh, hey.
Ah.
So one of the things the Winter Wrap-Up really made me very aware of is there are a lot of ferrets in Ponyville.
Yeah.
I did not realize there were quite so many.
You know, so many little rodents and mustelids and such.
I mean, yeah, to be clear, they are wonderful tube friends, and they are perfect. Ferrets are wonderful, but, like, wow, there are, like, rabbits and ferrets and porcupine and skunks, and, like, that just is what we have. There's a few squirrels, but there are,
the folks at Hasbro are like, well, we're not going to draw more animals. There are also snakes and bats, which we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But
going for, like, the traditional forest critters. It's just
ferrets.
Like, I love them, but God, that seems so very out of the usual for, like, the climb.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, like, they're mean.
Eh.
Aren't they? Or at least, like, they have a reputation for that. It feels weird to call any given animal mean. Especially here where, like, they could clearly be sweet-talked.
Most mean ferrets are probably because they're, like, understimulated pets.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah, ferrets need a lot of attention. or a second ferret. Like, honestly, you want to have just like four ferrets in a cage that have lots of toys, and like you let them out and run around together and stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. According to the square tube law, the longer the tube, the more you got to play with it.
Exactly.
That's why Beans has to suck my cock every night.
Correct.
Anyway, during the song, we get a nice scene of Colgate like singing with Berry Punch, and they kind of rub noses together. That was cute.
Aw, yeah. These two horses fucking.
Yeah. And also we get, there's a couple different like riffs on Bubble Wrap's design this episode. Like, we get the normal Bubble Wrap with her blonde hair and yellow eyes, but we also see her with blue eyes.
Yeah, yeah, there were a few ponies that, like, there's one that kind of had a little bit more, like, Rainbow Dash, like, bangs going, and was a little bit more blue-colored.
Yeah, yeah, we see one near the end with, like, purple hair.
Yeah.
And they even call her Ditzy Doo in the episode, which is...
Yeah, I was a little surprised that the very bad fan name for that character got worked in so very quickly.
Yeah, that's the less bad of them.
Yes, that's definitely the better one. Yeah. But, I mean, it's... Look, Bubble Wrap has a hard enough job. She doesn't need this other stuff going on.
Yeah, it's already hard being a male horse.
Right?
I tried it once. That wasn't my thing. Now I'm a mare.
Oh, here I was trying to figure out a good HRT joke.
Good thing I went on horse replacement therapy. Now I get all the hormones I need from Beans here.
She's a wamale horse.
Manipulate, mansplain, wamale horse.
Fuck yes.
I mean, that makes sense. This episode really is about Twilight embracing her inner girl boss.
God, fuck. Oh, shit. Oh, I don't like that you're right.
I always am. I'm a freaking horse Cassandra over here.
Oh, fuck.
But, like, so, song ends, and,
actually, there is one thing I do want to comment on with the song, and it's, as always seems to be the case, Applejack has, like, the worst job. Like, just, everyone else is having fun and singing, but, like, everyone on Applejack's team, like, having to, like, plow the fields of snow and then, like plant get them things. Right and plant seeds.
Yeah.
Like, they've got the busiest, hardest job. Yeah. And all of them already, like, even in the song, they have, like, a note of doom and, like, the little bags under their eyes and stuff.
Yeah, like, and they have the hardest job, the most important job, because, like, it's made very clear that, like, if we can't plant, we won't have any food, we're going to die.
Yeah, and, like, everyone else has, like, choreographed shit where they just, like, pop out of snow that someone else is hauling, which means that person's, like, hauling another horse's worth of weight rather than that person, like, helping.
Yeah.
Like, everyone else gets to goof off in the song, and Applejack's team are just like, oh man, if we don't do this, everyone dies.
Yeah, everyone else has, like, relatively fun, like, lightweight jobs. Like, you know, Fluttershy gets to talk to all the animals, and Rarity's job is making nests for the birds?
That is good and cool, and we will talk about that.
I'm a bird appreciator. I can't be too mad about this. Yeah, but then, like, that's always how it goes, isn't it? Yeah, because some folks who are more used to the manual labor, shall we say, get the hard, shitty job that sucks.
Yeah.
It's
There's some classism discussion to have.
Yeah. Even in our no magic holiday, the Earth ponies are stuck with the hard job that sucks.
Yeah, and they enforce it themselves.
Yeah. Admittedly, part of that's because, like, it's made very clear that Twilight cannot push a plow, but, like, it still sucks.
Yeah. like, Twilight could also, like, use her magic to help, just, like, wouldn't have to push a plow. She could just, like, lift snow. We've seen her harvest an entire mountainside of apples in one go.
Yes, but, like, remember, no magic.
Yes, I realize. As we've had discussed so many times before, the show does put a caveat in the episode, because if they didn't, the episode would just end.
Yeah, and I get it, right? It's about, like, you know, wanting to help out, trying to find, like, your place where you fit in. Because, yeah, like, it does kind of suck to be in Twilight's situation, where, like, you know, you're at a thing, you're at this, like, big community event, you're expected to help out, and you want to help out, but, like,
You have no idea. Like, everyone else has already done this lots of times. They already know their team. They know what their jobs are. Like, they're off doing their shit. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, it's hard being the new pony in town. Like, yeah. I get it.
Especially if, like, you know, you're not particularly good with your hands or hooves. Like, you know, you're not, like, you don't, like, know how to do anything here. Because, like, it's not something you've had to do before.
Like, when everyone else had to band together with you to kill, you know, Space Satan, your embodiment was magic, and the town said, hey, today, no magic. Like, yeah. What are you supposed to do with that?
Yeah, I get it. Like, it's difficult to find, like, what you can do. It's sympathetic. I get it.
Yeah. But yeah, when the song ends, we start with Rarity, right?
No, we start with Rainbow Dash.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, so Twilight, like, comes up on Rainbow Dash, who's like, you know, all right, you, go get the birds, you, go push clouds around, or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Twilight's like, oh, hi, Rainbow Dash. Hey, can I help with clouds or birds? And Rainbow Dash just, like, flaps her wings.
Excellent. We'll come back to this in 5 seasons.
Yeah.
God, did they have a second winter wrap-up where Twilight does help with the clouds then? Like, actually, seriously, I do want this in my life.
One way to find out, I don't think so, but, like, I haven't seen the entire show. One way to find out.
Yeah, like, I cannot wait for the days where we're gonna be entering episodes that, like, I've just never seen before, and you've seen, and then it's gonna be double fun to hit the point of just, like, neither of us have seen this content, neither of us know what we're walking into.
Yeah.
We can no longer be sure how we're going to try and weasel into the background of scenes. We need to be very careful about which way the camera is pointed.
We need to be very horse vigilant.
We'll have years of practice by then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Spike is sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of like, I think, just kind of riding on Twilight's back, all, like, sleepy and complaining. And
he's being a real piece of shit.
Yeah. And I get it, yeah. Someone woke me up early and then, like, kept dragging me around. I would also be sleepy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fair. Yeah. He's just kind of being grumpy right now, which makes some sense.
Yeah, like, if I was, you know, again, putting myself in Spike's claws? Feet? Putting myself in Spike's feet, if I were a child, one who was woken up, you know, before they usually get up for something that, like, they were not told about, or even if they were, like, you know, it still sucks to be woken up early.
He's the one who first brings up the fact magic isn't allowed, so, like,
yeah,
he knows. But also, like, yeah, he clearly does not want to be up.
Yeah.
And that's fair.
Yeah, like, he's kind of like, Twilight, why don't you just use your magic to fix the thing, and then we can go back to bed?
Yeah. And To Twilight's credit, like, she's feeling alienated for not using her magic,
yeah.
But, like, she is definitely, like, no, like, they say no magic, I'm gonna respect that they say no magic.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, she wants
their tradition
to...
is don't use magic, it sucks for me, but I won't use magic.
Yeah, she's giving it an honest try to, like, find her place, that's mm-hmm. a weird way to put it. She's giving it an honest try and, like, you know, wants to do something that will help.
Yeah, like... What can she do to both, like, not be an asshole and bring magic in when people explicitly say no magic, and, like, actually still help?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the moral at the end of this episode is not about that, but, like, that's a pretty fucking good moral, actually. Like, even if you think you know better, like, at some level, respecting some other people's, like, traditions and shit, and not just, like, stomping in because you think you know better because, you know.
Yeah.
I've never done winter wrap-up, but I can do magic, so clearly I'll do it better than you. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Respect for tradition is not exactly a thing I would call a perfect moral, but, like.
Yeah, no, it's, you know. Yeah, like, it's the sort of thing where, like, well, some traditions are shitty and bad. Like, doing something harmful because it's tradition is bad.
Yeah.
But, like, this is a... You're new to a place, and, like, I don't know, you'll get what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, like, the town does a big activity together that, like, everyone comes together for, and, like, it's a big, and, like, all of them are clearly excited to do it,
yeah.
And, like, they basically have one fucking rule, and it's no magic, and just being like, I'm gonna come in here, and having never been involved in this before, and I'm just gonna shit on everyone's plans by saying, actually, yes, I am gonna use magic.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do a winter wrap-up or two. If you think you can use magic, like, you should weasel some magic in afterwards. Okay.
Yeah. Some traditions are shitty and bad, but this one, like, this one is harmless. It's kind of fun. It's, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's necessary weather-related ritual that the entire town gets involved in. Like,
yeah.
That's cool. It's chill. Everyone's generally having fun, except for the Earth ponies working with Applejack, who are drastically overworked, but, you know, that's a thing.
Yes, yes, we were. Thank you, dear.
Look. I actually kind of had Twilight's problem, too. Like, I'm not strong enough to push a plow around. Like, I don't...
Yeah, you are strong enough to get plowed, but that doesn't really help.
Right? Like,
I know, dear. If I could have fucked you, and that would have helped wrapped up winter, that would have solved two birds with one stone. That would have fed two birds with one scone.
Indeed. I can't fly. Like, my artistic talents are not of the nest variety, and I don't know, Rarity and I butt heads when we talk about artistic stuff. So I can't really do that.
Do you butt heads and then your horns rub?
Sometimes, but it's not, like, I mean, like, you saw how she was with that, like, Applejack and the whole sleepover thing.
Yeah.
I can feel the vibes of that starting anytime the two of us start talking about, like, artistic stuff. So, like, I'm just trying not to, look, I don't know if I want a rivals to lovers experience with Rarity. I'm still working on, like, hanging it with Fluttershy more.
And that makes sense.
Yeah, no, like, I'm just out here, like, providing, like, coffee and hot chocolate and stuff to all these fucking hardworking ponies. The reason I was showing up so often to the Earth Pony section with you guys, even if, I mean, look, occasionally stealing a smooch every now and then was part of that, too, but,
well,
like...
of course. You raised my spirits, dear. I appreciated it.
Yeah, you guys needed the energy to keep going a little bit more than the other ones who were able to just, like, fuck around a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rarity's... Now we're off to Rarity, or is there some more?
Yeah,
no,
we're off to Rarity. We are, who is making nests for the birds.
Which, like, I will say, Rarity is making very nice free housing for people who cannot always live there. That is some good socialist efforts there, actually. I approve.
Yeah, it is kind of funny how, like, Rarity feels the need to explain what a nest is, like, you know, for birds to live in and lay eggs in and such.
To be fair, Twilight did ask, so Rarity did need to answer.
Yeah, no, it's silly that it had to happen, but a nest? Huh? Twilight's
Look,
not
maybe
not,
there's kids who don't know. It's fine.
Twilight's not much of a bird aficionado.
Yeah.
She doesn't know the ways birds seem and behave.
Yeah, there's a reason that I've made sure Pemka's not around when Twilight comes to visit for coffee.
You saw the way she squeezed that one bird later on.
Right? Like, not comfortable with that.
Yeah. That seemed unnecessary, to be honest. Like,
I
don't think that bird made... The bird wasn't any louder than, like, a noise you could have made yourself, Twilight.
Yeah, seriously. Oh.
Anyways.
The bird made it sound like a whistle, and she's girl boss mode at that... Doesn't matter. We need to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. Girl bossing is when you squeeze a bird.
I don't like it.
Me neither. I just calls them like I sees them.
Yeah.
But, So Twilight's like, oh, can I help make nests? And Rarity's like, yes, you can. Here. And then she uses her magic to lift up and dump out a basket full of parts for Twilight. I guess that doesn't count as using magic. How else is she gonna do it? I get it.
You remember how I mentioned that whole, like, once you've done winter wrap-up a few things, like, sneaking a little magic? Like, I don't think anyone's gonna, like, no one's gonna give Rarity shit for just, like, I use magic to make the piles a little faster, I'm sorry. Like,
yeah.
I'm not...
We were running late, like, how else did you want me to, like, move that basket? Come on.
Yeah, like, the little shit like that makes a lot of sense to me. But, anyway.
Yeah.
So she tries to, like, coach Twilight through making a nest, which is a very baffling experience, because, like, Twilight just goes, and Rarity, like, tries to give advice and then stops halfway through each sentence because Twilight's just not listening to her.
Yeah, and, and we're kind of just looking at Rarity's face because they didn't want to have to animate Twilight making a basket wrong. And, so we just kind of get Rarity, like, wincing and, like, trying her best to be like, oh, well, weave that in there. Well, what if you but take some ribbon and, we see Twilight's nest and it's bad.
It's a very bad nest.
Yeah, like, we get a pretty funny exchange where, Spike is like, oh, that nest should be condemned. And we're like, oh, Spike, it's not so bad. Maybe the birds could use it as a, Spike's like, an outhouse? It's a good nest for birds to poop in.
Like, the thing is, if you look at Twilight at that point, she is, like, just, like, face-planted into the nest. She looks like she's fucking crying. Like,
yeah.
She's extremely aware that she's fucked up and doesn't, like...
Yeah.
All her gusto to try and help is just like, oh man, I can't do this.
Yeah, Twilight is very expressive in this episode, and in this scene in particular. Like, there's a lot of, like... good, very good, like, nervous smiles and a lot of, like, good anguish and, like...
Yeah.
I get it, Twilight. I couldn't work with my hands very well back when I had fingers. I would also fuck up a nest something fierce.
Yeah.
There's a reason, like, I didn't even try.
And, like, this is when Spike starts hitting, like... He's fully awake now. He's not, like, being tired and grumbly.
Yeah.
But, like, damn, he's going into full, like, just savage asshole little brother mode.
Yeah. He knows how to get her ass.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah. And that's really Spike's role this entire time. Like, he's helpful later on, but, like, his job is mostly just to, like, give Twilight the business. To really rub salt in the wound.
Yeah, he's just got an entire fistful of salt, and he's just rubbing it in every wound he can find. It is rough, this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rarity, like, steps in to try and fix Twilight's... nest.
And then she spends the rest of the episode mostly trying to fix Twilight's nest.
Yeah, Twilight somehow made such a fucking negative nest. Negative quality nest. It doesn't matter what Rarity does, she can't fix it.
Well, which makes sense, right? Like, this is made of, like, hay and sticks, and, like, past a certain point, it's a lost cause.
Yeah. Like,
you can't unsnap that twig. But I can see how Rarity, you know, sometimes when you're in a hole, the only option is to keep digging, like, at some point, like, it's not about making the most nests, it's about trying to fix this to show Twilight is not all bad or whatever.
Yeah, like, one of the things I do notice with this as we go forward is, like, aside from maybe Rainbow Dash, like, most of, like, Twilight's friends actually seem to be, like, trying to be good friends in this episode. Like, Rarity, for the, like, perfectionist artist she is trying to be supportive.
Yeah. Yeah, like, everyone...
She's not doing it well, but, like,
she's
clearly trying, which is a step up from what we've seen up till now.
Yeah, like, pretty much everyone Twilight talks to is, like, at least is willing to give her a fair shake. Like, Rainbow Dash is like, yeah, I'd love to have you, Twilight, but, like, you physically cannot help. And and Applejack does the same thing. She's like, Twilight, I don't think you physically can, to be honest. Which, she's correct.
Yeah. Like, Twilight, this is not the thing you can help with, actually. Like, I appreciate it, but, like, are you sure?
Yeah.
But first we have to get to
Pinkie Pie.
The fucking savior of Ponyville, Pinkie Pie.
Yep, and, so Twilight comes across Pinkie Pie, who is, skating. Her job is to score the ice so that when the Pegasus ponies let the sun come out, it will melt along the scores and then melt more better.
Yeah. Increase in surface tension. Surface area.
Yeah. It ensures it melts along the lines and then you have these... Yeah, blah, blah, blah. It makes sense. And then, she was a skater. She was a skater pie. She said, see you later, pie.
Yes, thank you. Very good. She does also reference that, that she's been doing this job since she was, like, a little filly, and, like, she does refer to herself as Twinkie Pie.
an itty bitty little Twinkie Pinky, she says.
That's it, yes. Twinkie Pinky.
Which implies Pinkie Pie trans?
I think Pinkie Pie trans. Which, you know what? Yeah, okay. I've known some trans girls like Pinkie Pie.
Yeah, alternatively, Pinkie, like Twilight, is a girl twink.
Yes. Both of these options are good. We need to have more research to figure out which is the correct answer.
Yeah. Be sure to vote in our poll. Pinkie Pie, girl twink or twink girl?
Oh, man. This sounds like something that would be found on Mastodon. I miss that site.
Yeah. I hope people on the elephant website are doing okay. All we have here are actual elephants somewhere, I assume.
Yeah, we haven't seen one yet, but it's a long way for one of those to travel.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to put all my posts somewhere, and that usually just means I'd have to subject beans to them.
I mean, they are great posts, I'm gonna be honest.
Damn right, dear. Thank you.
Maybe I should start putting some of them up on the Twitter, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Like, where else am I gonna post something like, you know, where's my Kenny mug? Like, I have to get that thought out of my head somehow. And like,
I have to say, it is extremely adorable to hear you just like, folks, she'll just occasionally like poke her head into the room I'm in and just say it. She'll just get my attention and then just say things and then just walk out of the room. And usually because I'm just giggling too much to be able to really give much comment, but like, it's super cute.
Aw, very gay of you, dear.
What?
I'm glad you enjoy it, because, like, if I don't let the thoughts out of my head, I'll just say something like, you know, if you see my girth certificate, you'll see I'm built like a tuna can, or... or, cat girls keep asking me if I do anal. You know, like, otherwise...
New guy just dropped stigma mail.
Yeah, see, like, if you don't let these out, they just... bounce around your head forever, and they burn a hole in there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so...
I have embraced the wonderful advice, and it is, do not kill the part of yourself that cringes. Sorry, fuck, let me start that again. I've tried to start living by some really good advice of, don't kill the part of you that's cringe, kill the part of you that cringes, and it's very good.
Yeah, kill the cringe cop in your head.
Yeah.
So
defund that cringe cop. Put that money directly into more cringe content. Speaking of cringe, I'm born Canadian, and I never got the hang of ice skating. It was never a skill I got.
Aw. I'll teach you how to skate, dear. I mean, I could skate when I had two legs. I'm hoping the skills transfer to having four.
See, I'm hoping having four legs means that I have a better, like, distribution of balance, so I don't just keep fucking falling over because one skate like kind of lost an angle and just went under a foot.
Yeah. Plus, like, it's somewhat harder to fall over. Not impossible, as we saw, but
yeah. Yeah, Twilight shows us it's very easy to be a very bad skating horse.
Yeah. So what happens here is, like, so Pinkie Pie is skating around during most of this conversation, but then, like, near the end, it, like, kind of pulls it on Twilight, and Pinkie Pie, like, she's sitting down, and she's kind of skating in, and there's a very good and very subtle joke where she just, like, kind of stops on a dime. Like, she doesn't slow down. She just, like, somehow while she's sitting and skating, stops in just the right place to talk to Twilight.
Yeah. And again, like, Pinkie Pie is, like, being a pretty good friend and, like, actually trying to, like, teach Twilight how to skate.
Yeah.
Like...
yeah, like,
there's some, like, legitimately good friendship going on here.
Yeah, Twilight's like, hey, you have a lot of, like, lakes to score. Can I help you with that? And Pinkie's like, yeah, sure, let's get you skated up. Let's see
I
what
you
can do.
I heard you almost say Twinkie Pie.
she called herself a Twinkie Pinkie. It's fine. Well,
yeah, I know.
Well, she used to be a Twinkie Pinkie.
Yeah, and then she grew up into this weird monster we now deal with.
A Twinkie Pinkie is when you fill Pinkie Pie with cream. Thank you.
Oh, I'd rather not.
Yeah, me
neither.
That does
not sound like a good time. Like, although,
as fun as it would,
I'm sure the cakes have already done that.
Like, as fun as it would be to cuck Weird Al.
Fuck we go in a single episode without mentioning this?
Or like at this point in the time, they haven't met yet, so I guess Weird Al would be cuckolding me. Which I don't think I would want. I like the guy. But it would be very funny.
I mean, it's Weird Al. He'd find some way to make cucking you funny.
Yeah, no, like, you know, he'd do a whole, like, accordion number about, you know, hey, I'm having sex with your wife. No, wait, sorry. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. You know I'm having sex with your wife.
Oh, fuck. Oh, God.
Oh.
Celestia, what is this?
I would not marry Pinkie Pie for the record, but, you know, for the purposes of the joke.
Yeah. Can Weird Al self-cuck?
Fellas, is it cuckolding to have sex with your own wife?
Right?
Okay, so...
My fellow dudes, I'm so scared of showing emotion. Is it gay to fuck my wife?
Okay.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Okay, rare podcast crossover. There's an episode of Warehouse 13 where the guy, Pete, like, is talking about how he likes this girl and how he, like, wants to spend time with her. And he's like, I'm sorry for being such a girl and talking about my emotions. And it's like, fellas, is it gay to like a girl?
Right?
Is it gay to be a cis straight guy who's in love with a cis girl? Huh?
Apparently the answer is yes.
Like, it's very... I have my thoughts on Pete and his, like, repressed bisexuality, and this is not the forum for those, but if you, dear listener, want to hear them, you can listen to one of my other podcasts at, well, anchor.fm/warehouse69, or you can find it at princess.software. Anyways.
Excellent. I was watching the fourth wall and it was beginning to shimmer a bit. I was worried.
Well, I hope that podcast is doing okay. Well, we finished Warehouse 69 pretty much before I left, so that's fine.
Yeah. Excellent. Good.
Yeah. Now I can just focus on Warehorse 69.
Oh.
Which is where I look for a horse and then 69 with her.
Oh, I mean, it's a very quick search every time.
Yeah, yeah. You're pretty easy to find here.
Yeah.
I do love having a beans available.
Ah, excellent. Very good. Fuck. But, yeah, Twilight is very bad at skating.
Yep.
And...
Spike is gleeful about this. He loves watching this, which, admittedly, it's pretty funny.
It is pretty funny. I got some giggles out of watching it when I was by to deliver some coffee, but, like, Spike, you're being a little, like, hey, Spike, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, I get that you're a second-class citizen and no one really respects you, but, like, Spike, my dude, glass houses and casting stones here, my guy, like.
Yeah, yeah. Who knows, maybe Spike with his claws is a better skater. We do see him,
right?
Like, standing on the ice just fine later.
Right, like, if Spike was gonna do any job here, it seems like helping out with melting the ice and stuff. He breathes fire! Hey, Spike! Help out, my dude!
Spike breathes fire, and it just kinda sends the ice to Celestia.
Oh, do you know how much I would love to just find out that, like, Spike just sends, like, damp snowballs to Celestia every time he breathes fire on a snowbank?
Yeah, or snowflakes keep flying out of her chimney, or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah,
so... You know, Pinkie Pie is like, oh, Twilight, I'm sure you'll be a natural, just like me. And then, it doesn't work. Twilight... Pinkie Pie is doing her level best to help, but Twilight is just out of control and not very good at this. And,
yeah.
And, long story short, she's bad enough that she crashes into Pinkie Pie and Spike and kind of rolls them into a big snowman. And Spike gets to say, yeah, Twilight, you are a natural. A natural disaster.
He's just such an asshole. I don't know why he's like this.
Yeah, he is the little brother. This is kind of his job.
Yeah.
I will say it helps give the show, like, some edge, or, like, it's nice that everyone, not nice, but, like, I don't know, if everyone was, like, unfailingly supportive to Twilight, it would feel very kid show for little girlsy.
Yeah. And, like, yeah, Spike as the boy in the room being the piece of shit is, relatable.
Yeah.
Society, believe it or not, my friends, is bad. This is the jokerification of this podcast.
We do live in a horse society.
Yeah. What if we just made it okay that Spike actually wanted to go to the Grand Galloping Gala and maybe told him, hey Spike, you don't need to be quite such an asshole about the whole, you know, Twilight failing at trying to help people thing.
Yeah.
Also, flip side, we really should let Spike be, you know, a full citizen rather than a pet to the princess's star pupil. Yeah. That's also fucked up.
It's a bad situation.
Yeah.
So,
after Twilight's fucked up skating.
Yeah.
I think she's like, maybe I can go help Fluttershy.
Yep, and then we kind of come up on a Flutterbutt.
Yeah. It was very nice. It's very cute. The tail was flicking around very adorably.
I know, dear.
Look, we know who I simp for here, okay?
Oh, I know, dear. That's why I wrote down that there's some Fluttershy butt in this episode, because I wasn't even there, but I know you watched.
Yeah. Look, it was a very cute butt, alright?
I know, dear. I
know I already talked your ear off about it, like, when I came by with coffee afterwards, but, like, look.
I know, dear. It's very cute. I enjoy getting to curl up with a nice warm horse while she talks about the butt she likes.
Ah. Also attached to a very nice pony who's, like, going out of her way to be very soft about waking up every single animal out here, which, that really feels like maybe a system the animals should be able to take care of on their own.
Yeah, like,
I get that weather being controlled by weird pony magic is the thing going on, but, like, hibernation is something the ponies have control over?
Yeah, like, are the animals are used to this by now? Like, I don't know, it seems...
I guess it's like having a wake-up call when you have to, like, get up early at a hotel or something.
Yeah,
right?
Fluttershy implies that, like, if she doesn't wake up the animals, then they just won't wake up.
Which is pretty bleak, honestly.
Yeah.
But it's also where Spike finds out about hibernation, and, like, in the Dragonshy episode, we saw a giant dragon who was, like, going to sleep for 100 years.
Yeah.
Dragons hibernate!
Yeah, but how would Spike know this? He's never... probably never really seen another dragon.
That's why he's so fucking drowsy and grumpy in this episode, is that he was supposed to be hibernating for the last, like, 3 months.
Yeah, or at least, like, he probably needs more sleep than he's getting. Like, yeah. You know, they keep calling him a baby dragon. Babies need more sleep than adults.
Yeah, like, he keeps getting woken up on Twilight's sleep schedule, which probably isn't very good for him.
Yeah. He does go to bed earlier than Twilight sometimes, which is nice, but, like, come on. Like...
yeah.
Again,
you know this is a species that, as adults, can sleep for 100 years, Twilight. Like, you dealt with this. It was a whole thing where you were really shitty to one of your friends for a while.
Yeah.
Like... maybe respect that your fucking baby dragon might actually need to hibernate. Like, maybe Spike just needs to do that thing that I wish I could do and just, like, sleep for a week straight.
That sounds really nice, though.
Right? Is that not the most, like, millennial thing to wish for, is just to be unconscious for a week straight and feel rested at the end?
Yeah. Like, no responsibilities, just fast forward a bit.
Yeah. For once feel like you've actually gotten even close to enough sleep for once.
Yeah.
Some of the little critters we see that Fluttershy wakes up are a pair of porcupines who exit their burrow give a big stretch, which is very cute, and then hug each other, and then, like, give a little scream and pull back, because both of them now have quills in each other.
But only their bellies touched. How did they stick each other with quills?
Right? Like, and if you're coming in for a hug, like, the arms are moving in the direction the quills are in. Like, there's no way you caught quills on the way in, unless they were in, like, a really defensive posture, and both of them were going in for the hug, so their quills would be relaxed.
Yeah, surely, like, you would have a process for this, right? Like, you've hugged another hedgehog before. Porcupine.
Yeah. Yeah, whichever. Yeah. I don't know. They were spiky and small, and they weren't the very clearly, like, rabbits or ferrets that we see.
Yeah, they're quill boys. They're boys with the quills.
Yeah, they're quilled lads.
Yeah, Quilliam and...
Quintus.
There we go.
Quiltus. I don't know.
Quilton.
Bazinga. Quill Sheldon.
he's a porcupine in this one. Everyone else is still a human, though.
That's why they're not here.
I can't believe everyone else in the Big Bang Theory universe adopted a hedgehog, named him Sheldon, and then banished him to the horse universe when he got too annoying.
Yes, that tracks.
I don't think that's what happens in Young Sheldon, but I think it is what happens in my Young Sheldon fan fiction.
Yeah, like, I know nothing about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and I wanted to keep it that way, and same thing with Young Sheldon. I don't want to know anything about that show, actually, thank you.
I'm more into Bong Sheldon, where he does weed.
You know, that actually sounds like it would be a pretty good show to watch. Yeah. I would love to see Big Bang Theory, but... Sheldon is a stoner. Exactly the same show, but... And, like, Sheldon still being the weird, like, kind of shitty representation of an autistic person that he is. But, like, also he's just a gigantic stoner and cannot stop talking about his goddamn ferret persona.
Yeah.
Wait. No. Shit. Wait.
Hedgehog. Porcupine.
No, I'm trying to think of some of this... I'm having a moment to go through all the, like, major stoner furries I know. Bat? Bat seems pretty common in the, like, majorly stoners that I know.
Yeah, see, I've seen...
Or, like, I have dog.
I have unfortunately seen nearly every episode of The Big Bang Theory. Against my will, mind you.
Yes.
By the way, listener, if you want to hire me to write this, email me or something. We'll figure it out. But in the meantime, if I had to assign Stoner Sheldon a persona... Why is this hard?
Right? Like, I was coming at it from, like, stoner furries, yeah. I know.
I don't...
But, like,
I don't,
that's kind of know very little about Sheldon, other than that he's just a shitty representation of an autistic
that
person.
That he is. I don't think he likes dogs. I don't think he'd pick a dog. Yeah. I think he would go for something, like, small and manageable. Maybe a... So, like... Maybe, like, a mouse or a rat?
Oh, I could see Sheldon as a mouse, yes. Yeah. He's definitely a stoner mouse.
Yeah.
I was also thinking that he'd be, like... He'd probably also get into, like, some post-furry shit. He might be a protogen. He might be a fucking stoner protogen. This is a podcast that's turned into assigning weird personas to stoner versions of
the Big
fictional
Bang
characters.
Welcome to Big Pants, the podcast about assigning personas to stoner versions of the Big Bang Theory cast.
We need to stop talking about Big Bong Theory.
There we go. That's what it's called.
Oh no. Grace, we've come up with a good name for a podcast. We have to make it now, and I hate this.
Oh,
fuck. Note to us in future at some point, if we need to make, like, an April 1st episode, I think we know what our April 1st episode is.
Yes.
Yes.
The problem is, given our track record, we would wind up isekai'd into California.
That doesn't sound too bad, actually.
Yeah, at least we'd have fingers, I assume. It's hard to tell.
Look, I don't want to think about the... Because there is the very good joy of just being isekai'd as my pony self into another setting.
Yeah, that would be very funny, is the thing.
It would be very good. Ah, oh, fuck. But yeah, So Pinkie Pie hands over her little wake up bell to Twilight.
Yeah. And I hate to tell you this, but I did search Big Bang Theory MLP, and I have found Pony Sodas for the cast of the show. Several of them, actually.
All right.
Some of which are like unironically pretty good, and I'm a little mad about that.
Okay. Shit. So I'm gonna take a stab here. Sheldon is a unicorn.
Weirdly, the consensus seems to be that he's an earth pony.
Really? Okay, alright, I can see
that.
But
some of these, then, like, where there's a cast shot, they all seem to be earth ponies, so...
Oh.
Hard to say.
Okay, but no, I can see Sheldon as an earth pony. What's his name? I only loosely know the characters.
Yeah.
I don't know his name, but he's Leonard. The guy who's got kind of... Pardon?
Okay, so the guys are Sheldon, Leonard,
yeah.
Howard, Raj, Penny is the girl.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then they'll get married at some point, but I'm not going to tell you all the Big Bang Theory guys' wives.
Yeah. Raj is a unicorn. Absolutely.
All right.
Sheldon's an earth pony. I need the two guys, the two extremely white boy names. Can I get those again, please?
So Leonard is like Sheldon's somewhat more normal roommate.
Okay.
And Howard is, his personality trait is that he's Jewish.
Okay.
And also he's the only one who doesn't have a doctorate.
All right. Because I was going to say he's probably a Pegasus.
Yeah,
the other one of this four, I have... Oh, wait, no, I know exactly who that guy is. Okay, I think he's a unicorn as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then Penny's also a Pegasus, I think.
Yeah, a Pennygasus.
Exactly.
A Pengasus.
Exactly. Why am I doing this? I'm so sorry.
I think it's good, IMO.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Right.
I'm gonna close this search because some of these are like
good.
Some of them are bad. But mostly I'm just annoyed.
Yeah, that's fair. My brain just went to the most horrible question, which is what would be the pony sonas of the characters in Dr. Strangelove, or how I learned to stop worrying and love the bomb, which is, I still think, one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
But like, God.
Gentlemen, you can't horse in here. This is the war room.
Right? The war stable. Thank you very much.
Me, I'm trying to enter the war room, which is what I call a stomach.
That's what everyone calls a stomach. That's what that is.
Or is the
it is the room you get forward into.
Or is the war room the mouth?
Hmm.
Or is the war room the kitchen?
See, the mouth feels more like the foyer, the voyer.
Oh yeah, the vorstibule. Or would that be the throat?
That'd be the throat.
See, maybe I'm wrong here, but I associate the word vor with like the act of like doing the eating, right? Like,
yes.
Once you're in the stomach, you've been vored, but the vor is kind of done.
The vor is coming from inside the stomach.
Like the inside the stomach seems like it's the aftershot, right? It's the post vor. So it seems like the room where the vor happens is the mouth.
But the stomach is the destination.
Yeah.
Which is why the mouth is the foyer of the vor.
Yeah.
The entry point of the vor.
Yeah, you enter the voyer, you go down the vorstibule, and end up in the vor room.
Yeah, make sure to take off your shoes at the door. It's fine.
Yeah, at the vor door. The mouth is the mouth is the vor door.
One cannot simply walk into Vordor.
Jan, I'd like to Vordor the witness.
Oh, man, we got on some crazy tangents last episode because it was just a bad episode of the show. But we're just going on crazy tangents on this episode because this is just such a good episode of the show. We can't smack talk it.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
All right. But we're almost done.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, Twilight gets the bell. And sticks her head in one of the burrows, and has a good chat trying to wake up the critters inside.
Yeah,
and it snakes.
Yeah, so we see. I did want to point out, we see Fluttershy, like she tucks the bell under her wing, Which,
oh yeah, we do have some wing hand.
Yeah, it's not necessarily wing hand, but it's kind of like, you know, holding a book under your armpit or something.
Yeah, thank you for reminding me. That was extremely cute, but I forgot to put in my notes.
Yeah, it looks good. It works.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so Twilight's like, oh, I wonder what kind of cute little woodland critter I'll wake up. And then she sticks her head in a hole and rings the bell and it snakes. And, like, the snakes are fine. Like, they're not hurting anyone. They're friends.
Yeah, the snakes also hibernate. It's fine.
Yeah. And then, like, Twilight's so spooked, she, like, runs into a different this one's like a cave. It's big. And then, like,
she backpedals.
Yeah, they're like, ah, bats. And, like, the bats, you didn't even touch the bats, Twilight. They're above your head, and, like, they're cute. They're good. I would smooch a bat.
Yeah.
Hi, Belina. Like, how you doing?
Right? Hey, same. Look,
yeah.
Batlina has two cheeks, which means we can both smooch her at the same time.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
And then she pedals forward into a beehive.
Into a tree.
Which just hits tree.
Into a tree, which dogs a beehive down onto her head. TFing her briefly into a beehive object head.
Yes. Which also, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I think most of those bees are probably dead, actually, at that point.
Yeah, like, she...
Either they have been crushed by Twilight Head, or they were too far on the outside of that hive and got, like, frozen to death.
Yeah, plus, like, she got stung a lot, and bees do not survive that, typically.
Yeah, like, it's a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
Especially because she backpedals again, and this time ends up in a fucking skunk burrow.
Yeah, and then she gets sprayed.
Which, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I'm just going to point out, Fluttershy was perfectly fine with snakes and bats, and doesn't even, like, bat an eyelash at, like, skunk stink, even though, like, Spike is being shitty about it. Like,
yeah.
Hey, when Fluttershy is not having an entire episode around how much of a, like, shitty little scared character she is, it's actually like she's a pretty competent person who just, like, knows her job and actually enjoys doing it.
Yeah, like, it's really only Twilight that's weird about snakes and bats.
Yeah. But she wasn't even weird about bats when we were in the Everthree Forest and bats flew over.
Which, I can kind of get that, like, if you're already scared and, like, suddenly you're surrounded by bats, that can be a little unnerving. You know, suddenly there's all this, like, you know, leathery flapping and squeaking and stuff.
Yeah, I will say, though, I at risk of going down another horrible tangent, but snake, bat, bee, and skunk, she does run into all four very good options for fursonas.
Correct.
Yes, all four of these are just fucking bangers of fursona ideas.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I get it. As a ex-skunk, and I would have sprayed Twilight too. Admittedly.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
Admittedly, I like to think I had a nice smelling spray, but the point stands.
Look, you got the two packs in there. You just gotta flick the switch to go from pleasant spray to the fuck you spray.
Yeah.
The one that's normally safe for turfs.
Setting my ass to turf mode.
Ah, look, Twilight sometimes has some turf bangs going, I get it.
Yeah, her hair is like that.
I've gotten over it, but it's still there.
I'm willing to blame the fact that, like, there's only so many, like, ways pony hair can be shaped, especially bang-wise.
Yeah, but they did have to give her turf bangs, like...
Yeah.
We've seen enough other styles. She could have gotten non-turf bangs.
Yeah, like, they could have... All she needs is for someone to, like, cut her hair, like, at an angle or, like, do something. Like, cut a notch in there or something. Yeah. It would have been pretty easy for her to not have turf bangs, though I'm not sure turf bangs were as much of a concept in 2010. Maybe they were.
Unfortunately, that was a more recent invention. Yeah.
I wouldn't know. I was a dude in 2010.
I mean... No, that's around when I finally realized I wasn't, so, yeah.
Yeah, so...
yeah.
Yeah, Twilight gets sprayed, and, we kind of cut to, she's at the traditional tomato sauce soup bath for skunk, and she's covered in bee stings,
And Spike's there, like, scrubbing her and being like, oh, you should just use magic, Twilight. Just fucking use magic. It's the thing you do, Twilight. Yeah. Use your fucking magic.
Yeah, because, like, Spike is, like, having to scrub her to get the skunk spray off. It's not, like, a good experience for him.
Yeah. But, like, in Twilight's defense, this is, like, this day has gone horribly for her, and her response is still, they say don't use magic, so I won't.
Yeah. She's still doing her level best to help.
Yeah.
And, so then we cut to Twilight's walking up to Applejack and she's like, hey, Applejack, can I help plow snow? And Applejack's like, Twilight, I don't think you can. Like, I'm glad you want to help, but I don't think you're strong enough. Not in so many words, but the implication is clear. Like, Twilight, you physically can't. Don't waste your time.
Yeah, like, Twilight, we're very busy and you're a weak little magic pony. You can't do this job.
Yeah.
Like, I appreciate that you're offering, but, like, please, Twilight, fuck off. We're busy and tired. Like, there definitely seems to, like, I think this is the only time that, like, we've seen Applejack, like, at least to me, getting, like, actually, like, frustrated with Twilight. Because she already seems like she's not in a great mood and then doesn't want to deal with Twilight right now.
Yeah, like, you know. I would be a little short with Twilight too in that situation. I don't like.
Oh, totally.
I don't like that I would be short with her, but like, I don't know, if she'd walked up to me, I would have been a little rude. I'll be honest. Like, yeah.
I think also a little bit of the episode took over her personality because like she was pretty prejudiced against magic just in general. Like she was being really shitty about just like the fact that Twilight can do magic, which like. Back with the Trixie episode, she was the one who came out with, like, we all love you for your magic, Twilight.
Yeah, like,
so, like, yeah. Weird that you're now being shitty about the fact that she can only do magic, Applejack.
Yeah, like, there's a number of ways to read this, like, you know, like, she's kind of implying that, like, Twilight can't, like, she's a little mad at herself or Twilight or the state of things that Twilight can't help or, like, you know.
Yeah.
Why don't you take your fancy pants horn somewhere else?
Yeah, like, she was clearly tired when I brought her some hot chocolate, but, like, she wasn't anywhere near as, like, snippy as she is with Twilight.
Yeah. You were also bringing her delicious hot chocolate and not asking to help with something you can't help with.
Yeah, that's fair. I found a very good niche and filled it.
Yeah. Which is funny, because it usually works the other way around.
Right? I usually am the niche.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand.
And you're a very good niche, dear. You're very good and fun to fill.
Hey, God.
So, Twilight insists on helping anyways, and she kind of hops into the plow thing, which is for the readers at home. Imagine like it's like a Flintstones car, or like
that. Yeah, that was what I was gonna go with. It's like a Flintstones car with a little plow on the front.
Yeah, so like you step inside, like all four hooves inside this like plowmobile. And then you kind of push it from the inside. And Twilight is trying, and she cannot move it for love or money. And,
yeah.
But and then she remembers what Spike just said to her, and, like, it's a little weird that, like, the show plays the audio of what Spike just said as if we forgot.
Yeah.
But I guess, especially since Spike is like, atta girl, she's taking my advice right after. It's a little much, but I get it.
Yeah, and Applejack is just like, wait, yeah. I know what that means. She's using magic.
Yeah, so Twilight is like, maybe I could use a come to life spell on it. Which, like, Twilight, why don't you just, like, pick it up with your magic or, like, push it? Why do you have to make it alive?
Yeah, that's a weird one, Twilight. But, like, this is one of those things of, like, Rarity used her magic to lift some stuff. Like, Twilight using her magic to just, like, push a plow next to everyone else seems perfectly fucking reasonable as a use of magic in this kind of shit.
Yeah.
Like, literally she is not physically strong enough to do the thing, so she is just using her magic to be, like, as strong as everyone else.
Yeah. Like,
cool, that would have been a very good angle of this, but this is a TV show, so they can't do that.
Yeah, they have to punish Twilight for using her magic, and so, really this entire problem snowballs on her. And by that, I mean... Aha, see? I had a lot of time to think of that while I was dealing with the consequences from her snowball.
Yes.
So the plow starts going faster and faster because she brought it to life, which means she can't slow it down. Oh, I made this plow alive, but now I can't kill it. That would be murder.
But, like, yeah, like, our horn's glowing the whole time, which was, like...
And the plow is also glowing.
Yes. But explicitly the horn glowing has always been, like, this is the active spell still happening thing. Like, we've seen her magic still affecting stuff, and her horn stopped glowing when, like, she stopped casting a spell. So she's, like, channeling this spell, I guess, and she just can't stop?
Yeah. Or, like, I get that, like, at past a certain point, like, you can't just stop on a dime because there's physics involved, but it certainly seems that, like, once she realized it was speeding up too much, she could have stopped.
Yeah, there was a long period of time. Yeah. Like, there was a straight, like, 2 or 3 minutes of just her, like, being pushed by this plow, like, with her stuck in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it making, like, a larger and larger snowball.
Yeah, like, it seemed like there were many times where she could have simply stopped channeling the spell, but I guess she didn't.
Because plot.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it's implied that, like, it's kind of out of her control, which seems, I guess, is what happens if you bring a plow to life while you're in it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. Yeah.
Anyways, it starts going way too fast. It scoops up a bunch of snow. It makes this big old snowball. A big snowball that picks up Spike and Applejack. And kind of rams them into a cliff, which sends all the snow, like, crashing down back onto the field.
Yeah, all the snow that's been, I guess, piled up on top of this cliff over the field.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, and then every pony there is mad at her for, I think, very obvious reasons.
Yeah. And, like, yeah. It's one of those things of, like, it's hard to be angry at someone who's trying to help, but when they try and help and fuck it up real bad, like, it feels bad to be angry at them, but fuck, Twilight.
Yeah, like, I get it. I've been in kind of her position before, but, we're already breaking our backs here.
Yeah, it... Yeah, so she skulks off, which, like, good for everyone involved, honestly.
Yeah, and then she kind of leaves, and then, she comes across a I think she's, like, being depressed at a bush.
Yes, yeah, she's hiding in a bush so that no one can see her failing at being part of Winter Wrap-Up.
Yep, and then Spike's, like, trying to get her to come out. And then we...
Notably, also, like, as soon as Spike, like, as soon as, like, Applejack realized that Twilight was using magic, Spike just fucking turns on a dime and starts, like, harassing Twilight for having used magic.
He's like,
even though he was the one who pushed her to do it.
Yeah, he's like, ah, the nerve.
Right? Like, what a little flip-flopping little weasel. Yeah. And not in the cute tube animal way, like the shitty way.
Spike is not a tube. He is not.
Yeah.
Spike is not a good tube. He is a naughty little purple guy.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the obvious thing to call him here because that belongs to a shitty company.
Yes, correct.
Anyways, then we get a.
I was just gonna say when Twilight's talked her to the bush, we finally get the conflict of the episode.
Yep. Basically, we get Applejack and Fluttershy are arguing and kind of pulling, trapping Applejack. I almost said trapping Applejack, trapping Rainbow Dash in this pickle, where basically Applejack wants the snow melted now so she can plant the crops, but Fluttershy wants the snow melted slowly or not at all because she hasn't woken up all the animals yet.
Yeah. So they're just. One's screaming, do it, and the other one's saying, don't. And, like, Rainbow Dash, being so full of her usual bimbo energy, is just, like, following whichever order was the last one shouted.
Yeah, instead of, like, she does eventually just say, like, make up your minds. But, like, the reasonable thing to do here would have been, like, you know, okay, like, once you two decide, once you two come to a decision, I'll do the thing. But, like, you know.
Yeah, or, like, can we work this out in a way to, like...
Yeah.
clear some skies over those fields, but like keep the clouds over the burrows to like give that area a little bit more cold to have more time.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows? Maybe the geography makes that difficult. Like the animal zone is downhill from the fields. Who knows?
Yeah.
But
and we get one of the weirdest lines in the episode, which is saying yeah, something.
Yeah. So the mayor shows up, and she's just
oh, I'm glad you know exactly what I meant with that statement.
Yeah, I think I wrote it down word for word, or basically where she's like, "Stop arguing. My amazingly inspirational speech should have inspired you all to get Rinder wrap up done on time."
Yeah, that was the one.
Like, it's like the show knows that Mare doesn't do anything.
Yeah, right? And they even have the whole, like, saying the shitty name for bubble wrap, because, yeah. Like, she went north to get the birds that went south for the winter.
Yeah.
And someone else is like, oh, yeah, last year she went west. And it's like, this is the male pony. She can't be that bad at directions, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's silly. That's just stupid, actually. This is the pony that does the mail.
Well, but this is a different one. This one has purple hair. We see her later.
So is that... Are Bubble Wrap and... I'm sorry to say the name, but, like... Are Bubble Wrap and Ditzy Doo two different ponies?
I don't know. I think... I've heard them both use his names for the same pony, because I don't know if Purple Mane really comes up again.
No, like, we've seen quite a few Pegasi this episode that, like, we never really see again. So maybe they are, like, hires on from, like, the, like, other, like, towns nearby.
Yeah.
Maybe our purple-maned one, like, I didn't see her cutie mark very clearly. I don't think she had, like, the bubbles that Bubble Wrap has. Either way, if we see her around town, we'll ask, I guess.
Yeah. But... Hey, what's your name? And what do you do?
Yeah. Right? Who is your you, and what do they do?
What's your whole situation?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't recall seeing that pony around before, so maybe they are just from out of town. Brought in to help with Winter Wrap-Up.
Okay, no. She does have the bubble cutie mark. I remember now.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe
they're siblings or something. Who knows?
Yeah, well... If it comes up, we'll find out.
Yeah.
If not, it's just a plot hole.
Yeah, well, we will simply ask our darling male mare, like, you know, hey, is, like, Double D your friend or something? Or, like, did you dye your mane while you were out at birds?
Yeah, we'll ask.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, so, it's pretty funny how, like, it's made very clear that the mayor doesn't really do anything. Like, she's not really helping in any way. She's not even wearing a vest, I don't think.
Yeah, she's not. She just gave a speech and then vanished for a while. And then Twilight remembered after watching all her friends bicker and finding out that
not
like
yet.
Oh, sorry.
So, apparently Carabelle lost the seeds.
Oh, right, yes. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Like and then like they're kind of just talking about everything that's gone wrong and then Big Mac walks up is like, you know, go ahead, Caramel, tell him what happened. And then Applejack's like, you lost the seeds again, didn't you? The grass seeds or whatever, didn't you, Caramel?
Yeah, it was grass seeds.
Yeah. And then, Double D went north. And then, this is where Mayor Mare is like, oh, another year of scandal and shame because Winter Wrap-Up is going to be late again.
Yeah, and Twilight's like, oh, wait a second, late again? Yeah, all of you are fuck-ups.
Yeah, they even say, like, why can't we be organized? And then, like, it takes a little bit for Twilight to realize, oh, wait, organized.
I have two personality traits, magic and being obsessive about organization. Perfect.
Is anyone here a marine biologist?
fuck.
Thank you for coming to... I'm trying to come up with a horse pun for Seinfeld.
I don't know. It's a nay about nothing.
Hey!
Hey!
Well, nay.
Oh, Well, shit.
It's a show about Nathan. Thank you.
Ah, perfect.
This
is also, we mentioned it earlier, but like, She just, like, fucking squeezes a bird to make it make a whistle noise to get everyone's attention, and, like, that's fucked up, Twilight.
Yeah, like, Twilight, you can make a whistling noise with your horn, I guarantee.
Like, you know the birds understand the things you say. You've hung around with, like, Fluttershy. Just ask him. Just be like, hey, can you make a shrill noise so you can get people's attention, please?
Yeah. So, because I always make bad decisions for this sort of thing, I did look up Seinfeld MLP, and...
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I did find, like, a couple, or, like, maybe just one person who's drawn pony sonas for the Seinfeld cast, but, like, they do the thing where, like, they give the ponies, like, the same skin and hair color as the humans.
No! No!
It doesn't look good.
No! No skin-colored ponies! Don't do this!
Yeah, don't make them white people colored. It doesn't work.
Don't do... if there is nothing, listener, that you take away from this podcast, aside from just how extremely horny I am over Grace and how wonderfully cute she is, and I really love Graceful Spark. Aww. Anyway, enough talking about the princess. The thing that I want you to take away from this is... Do not draw your fucking ponies like their fur is skin. Please do not.
Yeah, like, I appreciate anyone who, like, adapts some kind of non-pony media into horses. I think that's very good. There's a reason I keep looking for it. But, please, show a little more creativity than, like, using the real human's skin and hair color. Please, interpret a little bit.
Like, even if you use their normal skin hair color, rather, like, give them a fur color.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen very little Seinfeld, but, like, I'm assuming those characters have, like, kind of generic outfits that they reliably wear.
Yeah.
Like, just, if they have a shirt that they pretty frequently wear, just make their fur color that shirt color. That's it. If you want to make a Bart Simpson fucking pony, make him red. Because he's got a red shirt on the whole time.
Simpsons are a weird one because, like, ponies can be yellow.
Yes, I realized I grabbed a weird one, but that was also the first show I could think of that had, like, you know, a character with a specific colored shirt. I'm going to be honest. Marge Simpson is a green pony with, like, a blue crazy mane actually is a pretty good vibe. I'm sure that already exists. We can't go down this rabbit hole right now. Yeah. We've gone down so many.
Yeah, I mean, I already did, but yes. Unfortunately, everyone does seem to draw the Simpsons horse. Wait, no, I found one. They made Homer, like, white, like FFFFF, like, pure white, which is a weird choice. But Marge is green, Bart is orange, which seems weird, but they made Lisa red, because she also wears that red dress, so I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, they needed to deviate between Bart and Roxanne.
And Maggie is blue. So, like, yes, this person took your advice.
Yeah, good. Maybe I would have gone for maybe a little bit more of a gray tone than pure white.
Yeah, I would not have made Homer that color. I get what they're doing. Like, they're adapting his shirt color, but, like, it doesn't look good.
Yeah. Artist tip number two. Don't use FFFFF as white. Like, use, like, a line of C's or something, you know? Get a little bit of gray in there.
Sorry, all zeros would be white. All Fs is black. Anyways, right. Neither of those looks good on a horse.
No, incorrect. Other way around. You're thinking CYMK, not RGB for color value.
Yeah, I guess I would be, yeah. Like,
hi, I'm the one who was a digital artist before we got here. I have to deal with hex code.
I got pigments and light mixed up again.
Yeah.
Ah.
Because again, if it's CYMK we're talking about, you are correct. Yeah. Maxed out is black in that.
Yeah, I'm CYMK, a cromulent mare, you know?
Ah, fucking cromulents. I hate my least favorite species in Star Trek.
You know, the guys who founded Rome, Cromulus and Cremus?
We can agree that Worf would be a fucking griffin, though, right?
Yeah. Me, I'm more...
Klingons or Griffins? Yeah,
me, I'm more into Worf.
Oh.
I never watched that much Star Trek.
I caught a lot of it as a kid. Mm-hmm.
In that case, I hope you enjoyed my Worf joke.
It was very good. I'm thinking about Worf voring someone, and it is the most honorable thing.
The Worf effect is when they show that the new guy is a real threat by having him eat Worf.
No! 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 I hate this.
I'm sorry, I'm always correct.
You are, though, is the problem.
Yeah. It's my cross to bear. But anyways, Twilight's like, oh, you need to be organized, eh? Spike, go get my checklist.
Yeah.
And then Twilight saves the day by organizing things. Like, she has more than one person work on Ness. By the way, we see that at this point we see that Rarity spent the entire time trying to fix Twilight's nest, and also that it's just Rarity.
Yeah, like, and like, yeah, she's just breaking down crying into Twilight's nest, like actual, like, tears coming out, because she's just trying to fix this one nest.
Yeah. To be fair, Rarity cries at the drop of a hat, mood, but...
Yes.
Yeah, like, Rarity has been
I mean, she worked a lot of time on that hat, and she's sad it hit the dirt, I understand.
Yeah. And, anyway.
Took a second there.
I also hate when my hats get dirty, I get it. Mm-hmm. But Twilight, with the power of organizing, has a second pony help Rarity with the nest. She has Amethyst help, I believe. And, has...
The implication seems to be that they're also, like, production lining it, rather than just having one person doing every part of the job.
Yeah. And then, and they have the plow ponies walk, push the carts in front of the planting ponies who, shake the seeds onto the ground. Which might make sense. I was under the impression that, like, I know the ground would get frozen and hard and you'd have to wait for it to thaw, but I'm not a farm horse.
Yeah.
I've tried to farm horse. It's been made very clear to me that I cannot do it.
Yeah, it's not the best vibe of all this.
Yeah.
But we do see Fluttershy with just having multiple bells, like, all roped over burrows simultaneously.
Wouldn't it take more time to, like, hang up the bells than it would to just, like, ring them?
Yep.
Like, if...
It would just be easier to get a louder bell.
Yeah, like, if it would be okay to, like, hang up bells and then pull the string, unless you plan on leaving the bells up all year, but that seems silly.
I mean, yes, but if you got, like... See, now we need to get some, like, mechanization into this, but, like, I'm sure there's, like... Look, we had Rarity and gang making, like, nice, cute... comfy apartments, I mean, nests for birds. Yeah. Like, all the burrows are in one place. What if the burrows were just, like, specifically built, just, like, have a bell in them? So you don't need to walk up. Like, just once the hibernation's ready to go, you just, like, I don't know, button's a little bit of a silly idea, but, like...
a lot of bells, isn't it?
Yeah, but, like, she does it anyway in this. They clearly have the bells.
Yeah, really, it seems that, like, just, if this was acceptable, it seemed like you could have just, like, stood in the middle, like, walked around ringing the bell, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. Like that is also the very good solution.
Yeah, like, yes, the animals don't get their, like, individualized wake-up calls, but, like, you know, if that, you're already willing to not do that, apparently.
Yeah, just, like, have the general alert bell to get all them, like, waking up, and then, like, have a bunch of ponies wandering around, like, taking care of them as they're exiting the burrows, like, as long as they're waking up.
Yeah, because Fluttershy does mention that her job is also, like, you know, give them some food and such, which, that makes sense, but, like, yeah, you don't have to wake them up one by one, like, and you know that, but you don't have to string up a bunch of bells to do it, you could just walk around ringing a bell.
I guess the only major advantage for the system they use is that they are definitely sure they don't miss anyone. But, like, that feels like just having, I don't know, a few ponies on watch and having, like, a map you can cross off burrows on as you see, like, animals exiting them. And then any burrow that still has an animal in it, that's the one that gets the personalized wake. Like,
yeah.
There are ways to better organize this, and...
Yeah, I would have said something, but, you know, push the cart, Spark, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I'm the only pony who knows how to call out the bullshit of horse society. It gets all odds I do it for free.
Yeah, by the time I got back there with some tea, they were just, they'd already done it. So,
yeah.
I couldn't question it at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Montage got a montage, you know? Yeah.
Next year.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so this all happens. Twilight is still scared of snakes, but, like, I guess she doesn't have to get close to the snakes anymore, so that's a bonus.
Yeah, Fluttershy is, like, super cool about snakes, actually. She seems to think, like, again, montage, but, like, she gives snakes a nice big smile. Yeah, so, like, I don't know. She's cool with snakes.
It seems like Fluttershy would deal with snakes fairly frequently in her line of work. Like, you know, it makes sense that she would be cool with snakes.
Snakes are a fairly common woodland critter, which are kind of her job. Yeah,
plus...
makes sense.
Snakes good. I'm a snake appreciator.
Snakes, extremely wholesome and good. Yeah, snakes good.
Yeah. And then... now it's apparently okay for the Pegasi to make a cloud tornado.
Yeah.
And they make this big old cloud tornado that, like, sucks up all the clouds and all the snow off, like, the mountains and just blows it away, I guess.
Again, it's montage time, and Twilight's perfect, efficient, bureaucratic power is making everyone work more efficiently. I don't know.
Yeah. Also, she also organizes the Ice Scorer ponies, which I guess previously was just Pinkie Pie.
I mean, it seemed to imply that there were other ponies doing it, and just Pinkie Pie was doing one. Like, it seems like the old system was, like, one pony per lake.
Yeah. Which makes sense. Pinkie Pie says, like, I'm in charge of ice scoring, which implies that, like, yeah, she's the best at it. She can do it herself. But Twilight's new system is, like, you have a bunch of ponies, and they all just skate in a straight line to make the grid crisscross, and then they're done, which makes sense.
Yeah, like, that's it. That is possibly the most, like, yeah, organization solves this problem. No, when we're having the, montage of all the fuck-ups before Twilight took over, one of the things was that the ice skaters made the chunks too big,
and
we saw, like, Pinkie Pie shrugging, and there were, like, five ponies just flailing around on a lake.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
It's weird that I remember that, given that I wasn't there, but I know what you're talking about.
Look, you have memory of the episode you watched years ago.
That's fine. A good point.
Then
the cloud tornado happens and everything's good and the ice breaks up and melts and Double D comes back with a bunch of birds in her purple mane and
I'm growingly convinced that's a different pony.
Yeah.
We've seen a few ponies that share cutie marks.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, unimportant. Yeah.
And then it worked. They wrapped up winter in time. Spring is here on time for the first time in a long time. And they give Twilight a special vest for being the very best horse.
Yeah. It's got all three colors on it, which is cute. It's a nice little... it's actually quite a nice little vest.
Yeah.
It has a whole, like, Elements of Harmony transformation, like, flash attached to it when Twilight puts it on. Because they definitely did not want to animate how a horse puts on a vest. We also went past something that I think maybe perhaps our most controversial loaf yet.
Ooh, loaf traversy.
Right? Because when everyone's celebrating that they've done all the work, Applejack points out that Spike's going to be awful upset when that ice melts, because he is, like, sleeping on the... like, he's just asleep on the last chunk of ice on the lake. His back legs are tucked in, his arms are tucked under his head, and he's sleeping and very comfy. Is this a Spike loaf?
The rare and majestic Spoaf. Well, I...
right?
I don't have a good memory of, like, seeing this.
I think we may have to consult some records and come back on that. For those of us who follow the Twitter... I'll make a post at some point to comment on whether or not we've deemed this a Spoaf.
Okay, so now I'm looking at something now. I've dredged the image up from my memories, and the thing I'm noticing is that, like, Spike's legs are loafing, but his hands are, like, kind of crossed under his head.
But we've had a rarity loaf that was almost this exact same pose before, with, like, the crossed legs rather than just straightforward.
Yeah, and, like, I can't deny that his body is loaf-shaped in this.
Are we having loaf creep is the question.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Here's the thing. I'm willing to call this a loaf because, frankly, I'm not sure how he could make his body more loaf-shaped.
Exactly. And also, it's been like fucking 3 episodes since we've had a single fucking loaf. I need this.
I think it's a spoof.
All right. Okay. We'll deem it a spoof. But also, like, is this just me? Or would Twilight make a really good mayor?
Yeah, like, she's kind of doing the job that, like, you would expect the mayor to do.
Pretty consistently, honestly.
Yeah, like, it's made very clear that, like, the mayor is doing nothing. Like, yeah. I gave a really good speech, like...
Yeah, like, that's basically the one thing Twilight isn't great at, is if she needs to make a speech, she makes fucking cue cards, and that ain't good, Twilight. Yeah. Because, like, when she needs to make a speech spur of the moment, Twilight's good at speeches.
Yeah, but she will absolutely let her stage fright get the better of her if she has time to think about it.
Yeah.
And then she sends a letter to the princess about... And then she sends a letter to the princess about how everyone has hidden talents, and if they're patient and diligent, they will find them. And also, it's about how teamwork is good.
Isn't that just cutie marks?
Yes?
Excellent. She sends a letter about cutie marks. Princess Celestia is unimpressed.
Well, like, this episode is about, like, sometimes you are good at things other than the thing you think of yourself as being good at, right?
Yeah, that's like, fair. Yeah, it is the fact that she had a second personality trait that pulled through for the rest of the crowd.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, I get it, right? Like, if you dropped, like, you know, human grace or skunk grace, you're not, like, not me, big gay earth pony, into a situation like this, mm-hmm. you know, human grace is, like, indoorsy and, like, good at computers and shit, but, like, bad with her hands. Like, she would also struggle to, like, find something to do at a winter wrap-up type event. I get it.
Yeah. I'm thinking about what old human me would have done in this, and, like, probably the same shit as a way to avoid having to do the manual labor hauling job, because there's... Actually, no, I probably would have gone in on the nest thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's... I get it, because really it seems like the secret moral of this episode is, like, those you can't do, manage.
Mm. Yeah, it's a little...
Because, like... Because this doesn't generalize, right? Like, only so many people can be managers, right? Like, what do you do if there's a second horse who, like, is having a hard time finding something to do on winter wrap-up? Like, the job of all team coordinator or whatever is filled.
I mean, she can't be everywhere. That feels like a job that could use some subordinates of its own. But now we're creating a bureaucracy of wrap-up.
Well, exactly. Like,
wrap-up bureaucracy.
Exactly. Like, at some point, you run the risk of, like, creating a useless layer of middle managers who mostly just stand around issuing orders while, you know, some other ponies, and by the way, now fewer ponies, do the actual, like, physical work that needs to be done. Like,
look, all I'm saying is the middle managers should be selected by the ponies they're going to be organizing.
Yeah, like...
But, yeah, that's a different
issue. Like, the job of foremare, or... is, like, a useful one. Like, it is a useful position to have someone whose job it is to, like, be aware of everything and to, like, make sure everyone is, like, being put to good use.
In hindsight, that's, like, Applejack and Rainbow Dash and I guess Fluttershy was doing that job?
Though, as we can see, the problem is that, like, there's no one to coordinate between the teams.
Yeah.
Like, as we see, once Twilight got involved, like, they borrowed Big Mac to, like, haul bales of hay for the nest folks, and, you know, they coordinated when the Pegasi did the thing, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, like, I would say Twilight's job in all this is probably bigger than a one-pony job.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, there definitely is a point of, like, once there's, like, 10 of her pony, like, ponies doing that job, it's getting a little out of hand, but, like... I don't know. I could see Twilight having, like, a secretary pony.
Yeah, like, Sherry has Spike. That helped. She has Spike following her around. But, yeah, Ponyville's a big place. I imagine she would probably, like, put an extra set of hooves to good use.
like a Pegasus with her just acting as like runner yeah. for just checking in on things and making sure she's updated.
Yeah. Like that would be useful.
That would be yeah.
Ah,
yeah.
That's Horace, baby.
Oh, one last yeah. thing. Spike has a really cute house coat right at the end of this episode that he's like.
Yeah, so he caught a cold from falling into the, you know, the lake. And he's all sleepy and bundled up and sneezy at the end.
Yeah, but again, very cute house coat he's in when he's, like, falling asleep writing the letter to Princess Celestia.
Yeah, as someone who's an appreciator of cozy dragons, he's a cozy dragon.
Correct.
He is
at least getting much closer on the scale of cozy dragon.
Yeah, he'll get there one day.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. That's Horace, everyone.
Yeah, that's Horace.
Now that's Horace.
And that's what I call Horace. I hate this.
Those truly were some Horace.
Yeah.
Shall we do our winter wrap-up of this episode?
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good.
Winter wrap-up is what I call it when I wear a condom and it's cold outside. Anyways.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
By the way, Beans, you might be horse pregnant.
Wait, what?
What?
Huh? I don't know. Understood.
truly it was.
Okay.
You're hit by a horse truck, got Isekai'd into Equestria. I have been your beloved Graceful Spark. With me as always is my darling Spilled Beans. You can find me and all my writing programs, podcasts, posts, and everything else is fit to plug at princess.software. Beans, where can we find you?
I'm the pony who's behind the Horse Isekai Twitter account. And Dracos.art is where you can find my other shit, or at Dracos.art on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
See ya.
See you next week, folks. Mwah.
Goodbye. Pony.